Now, Peter McGarry is a documentary maker based in Limerick, who has made a documentary on major air crashes at Shannon Airport. Cleared for Disaster is a documented history of crashes at Shannon from 1946 to 1961. Let's find out more about the documentary from Peter himself, who joins us in studio. Good morning to you, Peter.
Alan, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks very much for coming in. So before we get on to Cleared for Disaster, tell us a little bit about yourself. Were you someone who was always very much interested in aviation?
Yeah, since I was a kid, I could be best described as an aviation junkie. I was just always into aircraft. In the 1980s and early 1990s, I worked in Shannon and the United Kingdom with aircraft trading and leasing companies. So that was an amazing experience. I also spent a little while in the UK with British Aerospace Systems and Equipment, which is an RAF contractor. But aviation has always been with me, and it'll always stay with me.
Okay, so is this your first documentary? Have you made documentaries, aviation-related documentaries before?
The story with this is that in 2008, I focused in particular on the very first aviation disaster in Shannon, which was a TWA flight coming in from Paris, Orly. And I'd done a lot of research on that, and I subsequently moved house twice, and all my files went AWOL, they went missing. At the start of this year, I decided I'd resurrect the subject again and give it some kind of a video treatment. So I worked on it through January, and we got something released in February. But as per the film, and I discussed it there, wasn't happy with what I got. Sound quality had to be improved. But what we were missing all along was one critical key interview with somebody who could, I suppose, put another dimension into the documentary. So out of the blue, we hit pay dirt with a guy called Tony Kanaan, who you'll see in the film. And Tony makes his film a gentleman to his fingertips, and an Aer Lingus employee of many, many years. And his accounts of the air crash is just, you really have to see it yourself. His extraordinary insight offered into this.
Yeah, and indeed, Tony is someone who has previously been on the show with us talking about Ryanair's 35th anniversary of operating at a Shannon airport. Right. And Tony would have worked for Ryanair back then and was kind enough to share his experiences with us. So the documentary Cleared for Disaster, it focuses on a particular period of 15-year period, 1946 to 1961. And as someone for my sins who I'm a big fan of air crash investigations on National Geographic, I watch a lot of them, probably too many, put the fear of God of flying into me, but I just find it very interesting, Peter, you know, how certain air accidents happen and how they then learn and improve upon that. But a lot of them definitely happened back in this period, in the early days of aviation, where, you know, obviously technology wasn't as good and so on. And is that a big factor in why there were significantly more air crashes, and particularly at Shannon back then in the 40s really, into the early 60s?
It is really, because what you're dealing with aviation in this time frame was a technology that had still yet to mature. It was evolving. A lot of the crashes took place at night, poor weather conditions. But also what you've got to bear in mind is that instrument landing systems, which are commonplace today, didn't really exist in the sophisticated form that they did back then. So there were a multitude of reasons. A lot of people have said to me, God, that seems like an awful lot of crashes in 15 years in one airport, i.e. Shannon. But if you look at it globally, if you just randomly pick one airport, Prestwick in Scotland, if you go behind the scenes there, you'll see that they had equally large numbers of tragic air crashes. So Shannon wasn't alone in that time frame.
Now, the 1946, you start with that year, and that was the year of the first fatal accident. Correct. At Shannon Airport, not too long after Christmas, December the 28th, 1946, the TWA Constellation aircraft Star. Can you tell us about the first fatal accident that occurred at Shannon Airport?
Yeah, that was a flight from Orly in Paris to Shannon. It was to refuel in Shannon, pick up more passengers, and then it would follow a fairly standard route to Gander, refuel there, and then on to New York. The aircraft back then had what's known as short legs. They didn't have the range, really. So this was a very common route. While the aircraft was in Paris, it underwent very low-level maintenance, and a technician reversed the polarity on the input lines for an altimeter. The altimeter, for anybody who doesn't know, gives you your height. So as the aircraft was approaching Shannon, he was getting a false reading on the altimeter, and it came in on a track over what's known as Inishmacnocton Island, which is in the Fergus Delta, the best way to describe it, and hit the ground. It came down on that island, and basically wiped out 50% of the passengers on the aircraft immediately. So it was pretty severe. There was a stewardess, a lovely lady by the name of Vina Ferguson, who was just showed incredible courage on the night, and literally pulled people from the flames, saved a baby. And originally, when I looked at that air crash in 2008, I always had at the back of my mind that someday I'd write a historical novel and that event would somehow feature in it. So I started writing the novel, but like a lot of things, it was put on the back burner. So maybe someday I'll resurrect that again. But there is an interesting story to the Star of Cairo. It was back in 2008. I like to dig. I eventually got in touch with Vina Ferguson, who was known as Catherine Heckman. She married a TWA pilot. Literally days before she moved from California to Rhode Island to her son and daughter. That moment on the phone, when I mentioned to her that date, there was a pause on the line, and she had it straight away. She said, "You're talking about the crash," which was just amazing that to go that far back into time and discover that the person that you're talking with still has vivid memories of that. The aircraft, for your listeners, out of curiosity, is it's buried in a hole on Inishmacnocton Island.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Is there a particular reason why they didn't take the wreckage, or was it too difficult to remove? Or?
I think it was difficult, and the expense of it. And as soon as I'm talking about the Star of Cairo, there's a famous pub called the Honk down there. And I just want to put out an APB. I've got an interest in finding any artefacts from the crashes. I always suspected that a part of the wreckage might have wound up on a mantelpiece in that pub. If anybody knows, get on to me. You'll find the links on the film, or maybe on the podcast that comes out of this. But an interesting story, the Star of Cairo.
Yeah, 12 people, 9 passengers and 3 crew members died in that crash. Sadly, though, Peter, not the last fatal crash at Shannon Airport. And in this time period that cleared for disaster covers the 15-year period from 1946 to 61, you've the Alitalia flight, KLM flight 633, Pan Am flight 110. Which of those would stand out to you? Which would you like to talk about?
The funny thing is that when you mention the subject of air crashes in Shannon, most people gravitate towards one in particular, and that's the KLM. It's the Triton, which I think was the son of Poseidon in mythology. That crashed in 1954 on the day of the, I think it was the All-Ireland Hurling Final. And, early in the morning, right? And the extraordinary thing about that was the fact that the aircraft went down at in the middle of the estuary. The pilot captain unfolded the landing gear for some very strange reasons unknown. The aircraft experienced drag and it came down. It only flew for 30 seconds. It landed in the middle of the estuary. It broke in two. Water flooded in. Passengers drowned, strapped to the seats. The ones that weren't drowned, that were in slightly above the water, suffered from the inhalation of petrol fumes. They were asphyxiated. Other passengers got out, swam to the tail. The tide came in. Few of them were washed off the tail. The navigator of the aircraft swam across the river, clambered across mud banks on his hands and knees to raise the alarm. It was 2.5 hours later before Shannon realised that an aircraft had crashed less than 1 mile from the airport.
How? There's so many. Yeah, first of all, why the pilot did what he did, mm-hmm. and why it took 2.5 hours to figure out that a plane that had just taken off. The mind boggles.
If you wrote a movie script, it would be turned down because it's not really plausible. Hmm. But those were the facts. Those were the facts.
Doing the documentary, you know, did you learn anything about any of these air crashes that perhaps you didn't know beforehand, Peter?
Yeah, and the great thing about doing a documentary, it's like sending out an APB, and it kind of like spaghetti, you start connecting with other people who's got other aspects to the story. Only last night I learned of an air crash in Shannon that I never knew of, and this was a private jet which was being chartered by Digital Equipment Corporation of Galway, bringing executives in and out from Boston and Puerto Rico, and it crashed in 1978 and went up in a fireball, killed everybody on board. I didn't even know that.
And as late as 1978?
Yeah, I would consider myself reasonably well researched in that, but yeah. I was just amazed to hear that story.
Yeah, it would be considered, you know, when any accident of that nature, particularly if it ends up in a fireball, you think that would just kind of be more well known.
Yeah, there's been some interesting aspects to the feedback I've been getting. I got another phone call last night from a chap, I think he's in Waterford. His father was an airport worker. And this relates to the Italian crash, Alitalia. You know, the monument to the memorial to the Alitalia is in Clonlohan Graveyard Cemetery. He rang to say that his father is still alive, and the wingtip of that aircraft is in their garage in Waterford. Unbelievable. So I have to get a photograph of it. But speaking of implausible stories and stories that would never be accepted as a movie script, talk about a horror story. An aircraft takes off from Shannon and crashes less than a minute later on top of a graveyard.
On top of a graveyard? What flight was that?
You could. This is the Alitalia
flight. That's the Alitalia flight?
Yeah.
Wow, my God. That's grim anyway for plane crashes, but for of all places to crash and cleared for disaster is on YouTube. I watched it there myself, and I'm not the only one, because mm-hmm. thousands have done likewise. And looking at the comments, Peter, it's getting a great reaction. Have you been pleased with the reception it's received so far?
Well, relative to what we put out in February, it's chalk and cheese. There's been a superb reaction to it, not just in Clare and Limerick, but internationally as well. Quite a few ex-airline employees have come on to be over it. So, yeah, I'm quite chuffed. What we did was, during the middle of the year, I filmed two documentaries on a diving expedition to RMS Lusitania and got involved with a professional dive team called Project 17. And it's because those were larger documentaries, I felt then there was a scope to revise completely what we had on the Shannon air crashes. And that's really how it came about.
Well, I would urge anyone with an interest in aviation, particularly locally or Shannon Airport, maybe you're not familiar with some of these crashes, to watch it. Certainly, I wasn't aware myself, and I was surprised, and perhaps surprised that I haven't seen any of them pop up in air crash investigations, because I feel like I've watched hundreds of those at this stage and haven't come across Ireland, to be perfectly honest. Peter McGarry, congratulations on Cleared for Disaster.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
It's there on YouTube, well worth watching, and continued success with
that. I appreciate
that. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Not at all, it's my pleasure.
That's Peter McGarry, the documentary.